Transportation is a big focus in our state of Connecticut, and as we get ready to close out the 2025 chapter and welcome 2026, let's take a look back at the top five transportation-related news stories in our state. Who better to talk to us about this than Jim Cameron, author of the Talking Transportation column, which runs in CT Mirror. And Jim actually recently highlighted these stories and joins us now. Welcome back, Jim. How are you?
Thanks, Melissa. I hope you're well.
I am. Thank you so much. I mean, let's start with number five. You wrote Avelo Airlines, neither woke nor broke. Talk to us about this.
Okay. Well, this is the one that's going to get people riled up or, you know, cheering, if you will. Back in April, Avelo Airlines, the, you know, considered the hometown airline of New Haven's Tweed Airport, announced that it was going to start doing charter flights for the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE folks, to deal with deportations down to South and Central America. And I wrote a column in support of that decision. I am adamantly opposed to the deportation process that's underway. But I think it's fair for an airline, which is in the business of flying people from point A to point B, to take those charters, if they're appropriate, from the government, to try and, you know, make some money. And, boy, people just went nuts, you know.
I'm kind of surprised, Jim, you put it at number five, honestly. I thought it'd be higher up on the list, because I thought the same thing. That, to me, was the big takeaway. I mean, honestly, Jim, when this was going on, I really did think Avelo was going to get shut down. I mean, I still am not totally convinced it won't. That's how I think extreme Connecticut residents have been about it, honestly.
Well, I think there are a lot of people that fly Avelo Airlines that are in support of the deportations, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Right.
We're not talking about what the deportations are doing. I'm opposed to those. I think they are wrong. But I support Avelo's business opportunity if it chooses to take one. Now, if people are going to feel better about the whole deportation process by choosing to boycott Avelo Airlines, that's ridiculous. I don't think Avelo Airlines is going to be hurt by you not taking a $29 flight to Myrtle Beach on Avelo Airlines. They're going to continue along. But I do think that, what Avelo has to deal with is a huge storm of bad publicity. I made the analogy. It's like, you know, it's really off brand for them to be doing something like that. It's almost like Patagonia taking a contract to design prison uniforms. It's not in keeping with their reputation. But that was back in April, and they still seem to be continuing, and the protests seem to be continuing as well, too. So that story has legs, as we would say. It's not over and done with.
No, certainly not.
I
was going to say, and that was just number five, because I think there have been new billboards actually just this month that have gone up opposing those flights still because of everything. So, yeah, this is certainly, I think, a story that will continue to be trending in 2026. Let's go to number four. And you wrote Blinded by the Headlight.
Yeah, you know, when I'm choosing a story to write, I have to take a look at my own kind of perspective. What do I think as I ride the trains or as I look at the airlines? In this case, I was driving with my wife at night in the dark in a narrow road that I was unfamiliar with. And I was literally blinded by headlights of cars coming on toward me. And I thought, there's got to be a story here. And sure enough, there is a story. The whole story is about how bright headlights have become, how they're not adequately checked and monitored for where they point, so that when you're driving down the road, you have to be very careful that you're not literally going to be blinded by the oncoming traffic. I talked to some medical experts about, do these, you know, blue light glasses, these yellow glasses, do they help? What should you do? You know, how can you look at the fog line, which is the safety line along the right-hand side of the road, look there instead of looking straight ahead? And in many cases, I think a lot of older drivers just say, I don't feel safe driving at night, so I'm not going to drive. Mm. So that's number four.
Yeah. And again, we've got Jim Cameron here, author of the Talking Transportation column, which runs in Connecticut Mirror. And don't worry, we will link this article as well to his podcast, which will be posted on voiceofct.com. Jim, number three is Connecticut's real ID deadline looming. Now, this one, you know, you talk about a story that has legs. I don't know how many times this deadline got delayed and delayed and delayed, but we finally had it happen in 2025, didn't we?
Yeah, that was the decision by the federal government, especially the folks at TSA, the Transportation Security Agency, to require that you have proper ID when you check in at the airport. They want to know who you are. And your old driver's license just didn't cut it anymore. There was, as you say correctly, there was a delay and a delay and a delay as to when they were going to enforce this. So now you've got to have a gold star on the upper right-hand corner of your driver's license, which proves that you have a real ID. You had to go down to the DMV. You had to provide a passport, some letters addressed to your home, a Social Security card. You really had to jump through some hoops to say, yeah, this is really me. Well, that deadline came and went in May, and some people did not have that still done, and you can still fly without that, but let's just say your journey will be interrupted as you are pulled out of line and forced to go through a complete body search and further interrogation. So, yeah, make sure your driver's license has a gold star. Or if you're going to fly, bring your own passport so you can, whisk your way as fast as possible through those TSA lines.
And actually, just an update on that, Jim. I don't know if people heard about this. I know you did because you're on top of all the transportation things. That starting in February, if you don't have that real ID, you're also going to be charged $45. Did you see that?
Yes. And they were going to actually require you to register in advance, do a lot of stuff online, pay more fees. I mean, come on, guys. It's not a big deal. Go down to the DMV. Show your documentation, prove you are who you claim to be, and then carry forward. Or as I say, what I do is I carry my passport card. I have a little card-sized version of my passport that I can whip out if I'm accosted by an ICE agent who says, you look like an immigrant, we're going to put you on a plane to El Salvador. Aha, look, I have my get-out-of-jail card.
Wait a minute, how did you get that, Jim? Is it just because you're important? How in the world? I want one of those. How did you do that? No, I'm not joking. I want one.
Seriously, next time you renew your passport, you say, I want a passport, and I also want a passport card. I think it costs an extra $20-$30 or whatever, but it's like a bulletproof ID as far as I'm concerned. It's got your picture on it. It says U.S. passport, etc. It's not good for getting in and out of the country except at land borders.
Interesting. So like Canada.
Canada or I'm going to Mexico. Yeah. Then I could use it. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Put that on your list of things to do this year.
You think I didn't? So what's funny is my passport is up in December of 26. So as soon as my husband and I get back from our trip that we're doing for our anniversary in June, that is on our list. And I most certainly, as you're saying this, am texting my husband to say, make sure we also request a U.S. passport card. That's brilliant. What a great
idea.
Even just to have that extra. Yes. Oh, honestly, Jim Cameron, every time you come on here, it's news I can use. Always. Always, always, always. Come on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a wealth of knowledge here, and especially with transportation, which impacts each and every one of us, whether you're getting into a car, on a plane, train, bus, cruise, whatever it is. Jim Cameron's got you covered. We are chatting with Jim Cameron, who is the author of Talking Transportation. You can find his column. It runs in Connecticut Mirror. And actually, today's topic, I'm going to give the full article link on Jim's podcast, which we will post at the voiceofct.com website. So, Jim, we were going through the top five transportation-related news stories in Connecticut that mattered most to Connecticut residents, your readers as well. Avelo Airlines at number five, the headlight blinding issue in Connecticut at number four, and number three with Connecticut's real ID deadline finally made that this year. Let's go to number two. Now, this was a real talker, and honestly, it continues to be. And I'm not sure if it's a talker because it actually is an idea that could ever come to fruition, or if it's just because it is such a dare I say, kind of outlandish. It's just it's a very big concept that the governor has kind of said, like, are you kidding me? There's no way. But it got, again, a lot of people talking. Let's talk about Shapiro's Folly, a bridge over Long Island Sound.
So here's the story on this. This is a perfect example of how the media can create a story out of thin air.
Yes, there's exactly.
There's a developer named Steven Shapiro, who has a very good track record in Milford and Fairfield and some of those communities at building affordable housing. Okay, important issue. So he's really good at that. That's his sweet spot. Connecticut Post does an interview with him to talk about affordable housing and how he's so successful. And he suddenly starts saying, you know, what's really important is I want to build a bridge across Long Island Sound. And he goes into this fantasy of how he would build this bridge, where it would run, how much it would cost. He came up with a $50 billion price estimate. He said, well, you know, you take the cost of the Tappan Zee Bridge and you add a little bit more to it over here and a little bit more to it over there. And, oh, and add another $10 billion just in case as a rounding error. And he comes up with a $50 billion price tag. There is no plan to build a bridge. There's not necessarily a need. He thinks it's great because it would get him to the Hamptons quicker in the summertime. But he's talking about a hypothetical, you know, $40 toll. And how does that compare to the ferry tolls and things like that? The Department of Transportation was scratching their heads. I'm going to them saying, can you give me a comment on this? Here's this guy. He's getting a lot of publicity. He even generated an AI image of what his bridge would look like.
That's beautiful.
With red, white, and blue towers. Okay. Well, I'm glad he didn't come up with the idea of flying cars to distract this reporter. But clearly, the reporter from Connecticut Post went in thinking, I'm doing a story about affordable housing, yawn. And he said, oh, I got a much better story. This guy wants to build a bridge. Well, the DOT doesn't want to build a bridge. The governor thinks he's crazy about talking about this.
I know. Poor Steven Shapiro.
By bright, shiny object.
I know. And honestly, to your point, Jim, he is brilliant. And he's done amazing work in Fairfield County. We actually had the opportunity of interviewing him. My morning reporter, John, actually went to school with him. He found out as he's interviewing him. He's like, wait a minute, you went to this high school? I went to this high school. So, I mean, very local guy and has done a lot of great work.
Right.
But you're
so
right.
Build more affordable housing. That's what
yeah.
we need.
Right.
We
and he's doing
a
it.
To Long Island. That's great. Build more affordable housing.
But, yeah.
So that's number four on the list.
To be fair, though, Jim.
Two, sorry.
No, you're good. But honestly, to be fair, if money was no object, like as if we could start out every sentence that way, I mean, I personally would love a bridge over to Long Island. I really think that would be so fun. I mean, honestly, it'd be great just to be able to access that a lot quicker than doing the ferry. But listen, why can't you dream? My God, the poor guy. I felt like in a week's time,
I'll take the
he
flying
became
cars.
Right? Oh, you'll take the flying car, really? No, I don't know, Jim.
Well, then I can fly. I don't need a bridge, right?
Fair.
If I don't have a car.
Right.
A bridge, right?
Fair. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. It seems like neither is happening anytime soon, though, right? I think we can agree that that's not the focus. All right. Fair.
Not this year. No,
yeah.
No.
But it was a talker. I love that was number two. Number one. Yeah. Here we go. Out-of-state license plates costing Connecticut towns big money. I remember when you did this story. In fact, I want to say this was one of the first times you and I had connected because this story was an interesting one.
Yeah, this is back in June when I actually started noticing a lot of out-of-state plates. So I live in Darien, and, you know, I drive on the Post Road. I drive on I-95 and the Merritt Parkway. And I started noticing a lot of out-of-state plates, particularly cars from Montana. And I'm going, why are there so many cars from Montana suddenly populating Connecticut? Well, it turns out that they are Connecticut residents who have registered their cars in Montana, which is perfectly legal. You can register your car in Montana, or your motorhome, if you will, and not even live there, not even go there. But they're not the only ones. There are other states that you'll see out-of-state plates from people that still live in Connecticut, Vermont, Maine. So it turns out that the towns in Connecticut, which make a lot of money off of taxing cars registered in those towns, when you pay your property tax, not on your house, but on your car, those towns rely on those those tax revenues. And if your car is registered out of state, cities like Bridgeport are losing a lot of money. There was even one guy who was a councilman in Bridgeport, Alfred Castillo, who it turns out had five cars that he registered, not in Bridgeport where he lives and works and is an elected official, but he registered them in Shelton. And he was trying to save himself like $1,300 in property tax. So now the towns are hiring these enforcement agents that are driving around with license plate readers and doing investigations. And so far, Danbury alone, for example, had found 8,000 cars a couple of years ago that were registered out of state. And they were able to hit those people up for the taxes that they knew. And they brought in an extra 40% additional tax revenue off of that.
Wow.
So, hey, if you live in Connecticut, your car should be registered in Connecticut. It shouldn't be registered out of state just to save yourself a couple of bucks, because you're really hurting yourself and your community by not paying those taxes in Connecticut and to the town in which you live.
I do
so
know.
That was the number one story.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Jim, it'll be interesting to see if that comes up in the next legislative session, because there's always this controversy around car taxes and property taxes,
yep,
obviously. And you know, you bring up Bridgeport. It's interesting because I was talking to Bridgeport's police and fire chief recently, and they were saying, you know, oh, the property tax is going up and the mill rate, and you know, that means we're going to see cuts here and there. And I think that it speaks to a bigger story, which is if people are willing, I mean, you've got, like you said, the example of a city councilman who registered in another city just to save,
yeah,
money. I think that screams a bigger story, which is if people are willing to register their cars out of state, or, you know, even out of their own towns, then clearly there's a bigger issue with the cost, obviously, of affording it. And that's a problem that should be addressed.
Well, I think it's only that they think they can get away with it. You know, if they think they can get away with it, they'll try doing it. And then they'll claim ignorance. Oh, you mean I can't register my car in Montana? I've never been to Montana, but it's a beautiful state. Why can't I register my car where I want? Stamford alone found 8,000 cars. This is Stamford, not Bridgeport.
Wow.
Stamford found 8,000 cars that were registered out of state, and they brought in over $1.3 million in much-needed tax revenue for the city of Stamford. So, yeah, I mean, the debate about whether we should be registered or taxing cars instead of homes or our income, that's a different issue. The rule is what the rule is. And if the towns and the cities are going to, you know, register and tax cars in their communities to make the money that they need to pay for their schools and their fire departments and their EMS, that's the way we're playing the game these days, guys. And you got to play the game and you got to follow the rules.
Yeah. Well, Jim Cameron, I so appreciate the work that you do. Again, Talking Transportation, I'm going to have his full article listed with his podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. And Jim, I appreciate having you on the show. Thank you so much. And I look forward to having you on hopefully plenty of times during 2026. We appreciate it.